welcome to the Low Level Podcast. Here we are with episode 5. I'm your host today, Miles, also known as Behemoth. Joining me today are my two friends, Rob and Jim, known as Sid and Rude. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. Good.
Good. No Cosmo again.
Yep, no Cosmo.
Yeah, he got stuck out in the disc golf course and ended up with some sickness of his own, so.
COVID negative, he took a test, but.
Yep.
He also went to that Gorillaz concert, though.
He did go to Gorillaz concert, so that's probably where he got it.
Yeah.
I hope it was worth it.
Well, he's COVID negative, but you never know. It's the creeper.
Do you think he's actually just nervous and he just doesn't want to record?
Yeah, he's done after.
He's just faking it.
No, I don't think so.
Because the picture that he sent of his green phlegm looked suspiciously like if you just Google.
Wait, kind of looks Slimer green, like Nickelodeon green.
If you just Google green phlegm, it's the first picture that popped up.
I was kind of wondering if that was Nickelodeon Gak or if it was just his real phlegm.
Yeah. No, but hopefully he'll get better. Yeah, he just kind of backed out last second. I think his voice wouldn't sound great on his normally smooth sounding voice probably wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into it here. Not a lot of news this episode. We got a few things, unlike the last episode where we were overwhelmed with the Nintendo Direct, PlayStation, Xbox, everybody just announcing every JRPG imaginable. Here I've only got, a couple things to talk about. So, first up, Wild Hearts, that is the Dynasty Warriors creators, their own spin on our Monster Hunter genre. That game is actually going to be coming out fairly soon in February. Looks pretty cool. Kind of reminds me of like Princess Mononoke, where they're fighting like the spirit beasts of the woods. The video they showed is like a giant boar, and it's absolutely enormous. Where Monster Hunter, they're not that crazy big.
So is it going to be just like other Dynasty Warriors kind of style games?
More like Dynasty Warriors mixed with Monster Hunter.
Okay.
And so.
Does it have like a. Because when you think Dynasty Warriors, you think like hundreds of enemies on screen at once.
Right.
Yeah, it's just one monster.
Why would you say like Dynasty Warriors meets Monster Hunter?
Yeah, I wonder, are you just not like jumping around or like.
No, the fighting style is very similar.
Yeah, it's more like, Dynasty Warriors.
There's not a ton of info out, but it looks like you build like these devices that help you traverse into the air to strike down, build traps to help knock out the monster. Kind of a interesting take, and for a developer like that to kind of enter the playing field and put that out there as like a AAA title,
an EA publishing.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting to see how it stacks up against Monster Hunter games, which I play hundreds and hundreds of hours of. Yeah. So I'm excited for it.
I was gonna say, as someone as a Monster Hunter fan, I haven't played any, but you as a Monster Hunter fan, what did you think of it? Look good?
Yeah, I think it looks cool. I mean, I'd like to see like more about the weapons, the armor that you can get, and just how the game really plays. I mean, it looked kind of bare, as like you just have the monster and you're in this arena with a landscape around you.
I was going to say, have you guys ever played a Dynasty Warriors games before?
Oh, like, of course.
Okay, so yeah, I think I haven't really gotten into them, but I think I've played Dragon Quest Heroes. There's a lot of like spin-off ones, games that are based on like the Dynasty Warriors.
Those are the ones that basically
kind of stealth
Hyrule
games.
Warriors 2, Hyrule I think, Warriors, is like a prequel to Breath of the Wild.
Fire Emblem Heroes, and I mean, there's just like
Berserk,
everything.
One Piece.
Yeah, there's just like, I feel like it's kind of like a thing now. So yeah, it's cool to see it coming to Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm. I still go back to Gundam. Dynasty Warriors 3 though. That was the best.
PS2.
Yeah, PS2. That was the game that got me into it.
I played that demo over and over.
And when you fought Lu Bu, you were just like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
This guy's going to kill everybody on this map.
Is it? So it's multiplayer then?
Yeah, multiplayer. Okay. It's only 3 players though, where Monster Hunter is 4 players. So,
So who are you going to cut out of your Monster Hunter group?
Well, luckily there's 5 people when we play, and I only play with mainly 2 other people. So the other 2 are going to have to go off on their own.
The Mud Brothers?
Yep, the Mud Brothers.
Okay. Cool.
Jake and Nate Peterson.
Cool.
Quite the guys.
It's next-gen consoles only, too, so more current-gen, I guess.
Yep, current-gen consoles. I can't remember if it's coming out for PC or not, but it's definitely coming out for both Xbox and PS5.
I mean, there's not a ton of those type of games. It seems like every major game is, at least it might be announced for kind of current-gen, but then it gets like an older, the PS4 or Xbox version gets announced later in. Like, I mean, Resident Evil 4 was just kind of the PS4 version was recently announced.
Well, yeah, and the only other game I can think of, like, top of my head, I know there's some, like, really crazy Japanese, like, pronunciations for some of the similar style games, but, like, Dauntless, that was, like, a free-to-play Monster Hunter-style game. It was okay. And that was kind of, like, the America's take on it, and I don't know. I thought it was all right. It mm-hmm. didn't really capture the feel that I was looking for, but...
Cool.
But yeah, we'll move on to the next one. Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden. Those are going to be coming out. It looks like digitally, January 19th, 2023. So I've never played either of them. I played 2 and 5, but 3 and 4, they say they're some of the best ever since before 5 came out.
Yeah, I played 3 back in the day. Portable version, a good amount of it, and it was good. I mean, I think the dungeon aspect was kind of monotonous because it's all, I don't know if it's randomly generated, but it's pretty bland. But characters and music were really good. I think, I don't know why they're releasing them both on the same day. That seems kind of strange. And Atlas does some weird things, but I figured they're gonna release one every like 3-4 months, and not just load people with 200-hour RPGs on the same day, but
they want you to stock up.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever think that these companies are going to come out with like big compilations? Like, I think like people just like that's like their dream. Like, oh, I wish we'd get all the Final Fantasies in one, or in like one... all the Personas in one. It's no. like, I don't think it's ever going to happen
because
they're just going to milk it for every title, right?
All the time.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer, but yeah, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, maybe every title gets a little more, I don't know. A little more love then.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice when they release older titles that maybe are harder to get access to now, but when you keep bringing it out, hey, it's remastered again. Well, what? You just remastered it.
Yeah, right. It's the new plus version.
Yeah. Unlike Suikoden that looked like they put in some time and effort into
it. That's why I'm so impressed with that, but from Konami, like I felt like it could have just been anything simple, and instead it's actually a lot. Looks like a lot of work was put into it. So
what if what they showed us was like the only things they changed?
And then yeah, like the game backgrounds are only in the screenshots
and
they
you
showed.
Play the game and it's just like the rest of it is all the same. That'd be really funny. Then people go right back to fuck Konami.
I think Konami's probably knows they got some reputation that they need to earn again here. So
someone's
a good start.
Someone would agree. There is trying to turn things around. Clearly,
yeah. Since the break with Hideo Kojima, that was over.
The dark period.
The Silent Hill game, which I'm devastated didn't get made.
But they did have that Silent Hill, the message get rated in Korea. So there's going to be, people are thinking it's going to be like a prologue type thing for what the new Silent Hill game would be.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But, cool. You know, that he went on to make Death Stranding, which I thought was a fantastic game. So.
Which I think technically is in our index, actually, as an RPG. Because I think it just has enough to
RPG
qualify
goodness.
As one. Technically,
okay. It's the greatest walking simulator of all time.
That's
But I put a 90 hours into it. Right. So
I heard it was really fun. I have to play. I think I'm kind of. I feel like that one would be a PlayStation Plus title.
I'm surprised you haven't played it.
Yeah, if you have
a Kojima fan,
I know I am. I
if you have a PS5, it's in the PlayStation collection.
Is it?
Yeah. The director's cut too, so it has a bunch of extra stuff they added.
Is that new? So like, when the PlayStation 5 came out, that wasn't in the initial collection.
It wasn't initially.
Initially, okay. But it did get added.
Okay, yeah. I need to add it then. Wow, I didn't even know that.
Great
I'll have
game.
To play it. No, I can play for free.
And that game is interesting though, because there's people I've talked to that like hated it and then just ended up loving it. So it's like it's kind of polarizing. On just how people can just wildly change on how they feel about it. But I think I paid like 10 hours and. I don't think I ever got in the groove. I'll have to get back to it because just the way people talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to eventually get to it, and I'm a big fan of Kojima. And that won overall, I think, more Game of the Year awards than any other game, despite kind of being pretty polarizing. So.
Well, I played it when it came out, and I like told myself I can't stop playing it because this is when everybody's going to play the game. And they talked about like the social aspect, and it really is reflected on when you're building structures and the cover from the rain that makes everything age. But like my greatest accomplishment in that game was there's the Rocky Mountains you have to cross. And I made this zip line that goes from one end mm-hmm. all the way to the other. And I was like so proud of it. It took me so long to make because, I mean, you're in actual mountains and you got to traverse and climb. And
just gather the materials to do it.
And gather the materials to do it. And I got it all the way around. I'm like, man, I hope somebody else gets to use this. And then the next day I've got like 250 like likes because you can like their structures. Sure. And I'm like, yes, it worked.
From what I heard, that's a problem with people getting into the game now, though, is that there are so many pre-existing structures that it's just kind of littered, that it's not the same kind of playthrough that someone else would have had of having to build bridges and do stuff where everything is just there for people. So it's not like the same feeling of having to cross the mountains yourself. Yeah, where you can just use a zipline and then do it.
Which is weird because your structures erode over time and mm-hmm. they should disappear. So I don't know if something changed, but and not everybody's connected to like the same group.
Yeah,
so,
same server.
The same probably. Server, yeah. Or however they connect you. And so there was never really not a lot on my map. So mm-hmm. like when I was in the mountains, there was nothing. Maybe there's like one or two things that I got to use, but it was me connecting everything else, which was like huge.
So those tweets that he's been posting with like Ellie Fanning, the actress, and then like another mystery actress. Like,
yeah.
It hasn't been directly related to Death Stranding, but the Death Stranding producer, like on one of them, retweeted and said hashtag Death Stranding. So like they might have slipped it or were allowed to say that. So maybe Death Stranding too.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, if there's one guy who I'll can hype up a game, it's Hideo Kojima. Like,
for sure.
They found it on they found this QR code and scanned it to reveal who it actually was. And I don't know. I think it was kind of small and they had to like discover it. Super cool. It kind of brings the excitement back into like investigating, oh, what's his next game? Because he like wants everybody to be involved. Or when Phantom Pain was being revealed, it was really cryptic. Moby Dick Studios. For sure. Everybody, that game Abandoned that was supposed to come out, that everybody was like, this is a Kojima game. And they're like, no. And then now they're...
Dude, that developer just like dug themselves a hole because they were just trying to be cagey about it because I think they just liked the attention on the game. And like it just went on for like months. But like, I don't even think Kojima like outwardly like denied anything. Like, nope, this is definitely not us. I think he probably just thought it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Of just kind of seeing people kind of go into a craze. But there was interviews with that dude recently where they kind of busted all open. It's like, nope, this is not related to Kojima at all. But
yeah. The next thing we'll talk about is Star Ocean, Divine Force. That's releasing this month, finally, October 27th. Do you guys ever get to play the demo?
No, we might have talked about this in a previous episode when we were talking about Star Ocean, but no, I haven't. And I think maybe I'd watched a trailer for the Divine Force when it got announced, but no, I haven't played the demo.
Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I kind of saw what people were not complaining about. That's just kind of how the game is. There's just lack of expression on people's faces. But combat seemed kind of fun. So
hopefully it does well, because Trias, I heard, is in some trouble.
I was going to say, I think that might be a little bit of news, is that I think, didn't we get some like word about like their financial situation? Mm-hmm. And it's not very good. Like, yeah. I think they've been stuck doing this only game. Like, this is the only game that they've been even able to work on because of their financial outlook, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, hopefully, the crazy thing is, it's just like all these like Japanese studios putting out games on like the more kind of modern or more powerful platforms, PS5, Xbox, like they're kind of relying more on Western audiences to like get it, because nobody's playing on freaking consoles other than the Switch in Japan. It's nuts.
Really?
It's
just like, Switch
yeah,
only?
There's something, like there's an article that came out to share with you guys, but like market share for like Japan right now, Switch is like 97% of the market. It's like mind-boggling.
Wow.
Like PlayStation 5 is just... the software sales are in the tank. Like, it's just not picking up there. But Sony's also...
Meanwhile,
not,
over here, you can't even find a PlayStation.
But they're not prioritizing sales there of PS5s, if not making shipping them there. I think stock's starting to get better here. Like, you can get them online if you're following the right places. It's not like they're gone in a couple minutes. They've been up for hours now.
That's good. I mean, like, even, like, have you guys, like, walked into a store and been able to see one?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But I haven't left my house since COVID started, so...
Yeah.
Right.
We just dug tunnels to each other's place.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's maybe something we can talk about in the future, just like having to shift kind of their audiences because it's like Japanese players aren't even like the main kind of targets for some of these games at this point. Like,
well, and Tri-Ace is kind of like one of those legacy companies too. I mean, that, if I can remember, I mean, they did Valkyrie Profile and right. And all those other, I'm trying to think what are some other JRPGs they did.
So they did.
They helped out with Dragon Quest, or did they help? Oh, no, was that, I always get them confused with another company. Is it Tri Crescendo or something? There's another Tri company out there, but I think, or is it Level 5 that I might get them mixed
level
up with?
Level 5 was Dragon Quest 8.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's what they did.
Yeah, but I forgot that they helped with Valkyrie Profile. Was it the first or the
I think it was the second? First one.
Okay.
They helped, yeah, they've helped with a lot of different like series, I think. But yeah, their main games, I think, are Star Ocean, I think.
Okay.
But I can't remember like what other kind of games that
were they related to the new Valkyrie Elysium at all, or because I heard that it's just not been doing well either. Like it's already like half off in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. The controversy, or like not the controversy with it, but like the critiques about it is like it's just empty. There's nothing, there's like, it's just empty worlds where there's nothing really living or...
I think it's like decent on Metacritic. It's about what I expected, like a 7 out of 10 type
7
of
out
game.
Of 10, sure.
And I heard the combat's really good, but yeah, I'm not, with so much to play, there's no reason to pay full price for that right now.
Yeah, so I think here, so most of Tri-Ace's games have been published by Square Enix, which is interesting. So they helped with... So the founders helped with like Tales of Phantasia and some others. So yeah, they also did release Valkyrie Profile in 1999. So
did they have anything to do with 2 or?
Yeah, Valkyrie Profile 2, Radiant Stories
2.
Okay.
And all Star Ocean games.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like they've worked on the new one, which is disappointing. So maybe that's why it's so different. Yeah, from what I've heard with people in the server, people were like, oh yeah, it's worth playing, but don't buy it right now at full price. It's not really worth it.
Sure.
Well, and the final, last but not least, the final game coming out actually this month too. I think it's like October 20th, so that's pretty soon. Ultra Kaiju Monster Hunter, a crossover between Ultraman and, Monster Rancher, sorry. And crossover between Ultraman and Monster Rancher. So basically, there's going to be over 200 kaiju in this game. You can take two and fuse them into a single one.
This sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, so I thought it was just an announcement, but it's coming out this month?
Yeah.
Was this announced before?
I don't know.
Or was it announced and coming out? Because
I remember sending somebody a text about it, and I'm like, check this game out. You like Monster Rancher, right? And they didn't say anything, so.
They might have been like really gray with the release date until like recently or something. So
does Ultraman fight?
I've never heard of him until now.
Ultraman fight kaiju then? Is that what Ultraman is?
Ultraman's like those giant like mecha monsters.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like mecha on Godzilla. Mecha or mecha on kaiju.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with Ultraman, so.
Okay, if it's crossover with Ultraman and Monster Rancher, then I'm sure, because it has kaiju in the title.
So. As long as there's giant monsters, I'm in.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's
fair
all enough. I need.
Did you guys ever play War of the Monsters on PS2?
No, but I think I've seen some gameplay videos. That's a fun game, it looks like.
It's fun. Yeah,
isn't it like you're just in a city
just
and you're just fighting each other?
You're
just
fighting each other, yeah. That was one where, it'd be funny, there's probably a list of games like this too, where I was super into the demo and then bought the game and just barely played it. Like, it's one of those type of games. But that they re-released it as a PS2 classic on PS3.
I remember that game.
I think on PS4,
I never played it, but I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our news for today. Now it's time to talk about the game of the month. This month was spooky/horror game. And, if you run the Discord, guess what won? Bloodborne. I think a lot of people were kind of excited to play that. And so, you know, it ended up edging out another game.
Surprisingly close.
Yeah, surprisingly close. Bloodborne only won the polls by 3%. So Bloodborne is at 44%. Castlevania Aria of Sorrows had 41% of the vote. Sweet Home had 9, and Baroque had a measly 6. So clearly that's probably the closest I've seen it since we...
Have you guys played any of the other 3 games before or no?
No.
No.
Any of those games, yeah.
No. I started Aria. I think I just started because I was playing on the Pocket, on the Analog Pocket, just to test it out. And it seems cool, but I've only actually legit got into...
If you like Symphony of the Night, Aria of Sorrow is definitely one you should definitely check out.
Yeah.
It's,
okay. I hear those are all...
I think it's better, good. My opinion.
Yeah, really? I think... Yeah. Than Symphony?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Really?
It has more depth, wow, for sure. I just, you can just play that game. There's so many different things you can do in that game. It's awesome. I love Symphony of the Night, but it does feel like a, you know, continuation of what they did in the first game. So, cool. And they kind of did a little better.
You're a big Castlevania guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you played like the NES ones, Super NES. What's your favorite Castlevania game then? Aria?
Oh, man. Aria probably is my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah. And it has a sequel, a direct sequel, Dawn of Sorrow, which is really cool. So, yeah, I think the other game, Sweet Home, was also really intriguing to me, and I think it comes up every couple whatever years we have on Halloween, and I think it's really interesting because it has a movie attached to it as well, which is interesting. I thought that would be kind of a cool thing to like play the game and then also watch the like Japanese movie that was released at the same time as the game. So, and it's Sweet Home is like the precursor to Resident Evil.
Well, yeah,
I think
inspired
so.
By yeah. Yeah. Always a bridesmaid then, so it's always in the polls option, but never voted for.
Yep, never voted for. It's not always. I'd say I don't know if it was last year for Halloween, but I think maybe a couple years ago it was. But maybe one of these years we'll get to it. It'd be a fun one to do. But yeah, when you're against Bloodborne, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, Bloodborne's awesome. So.
I am surprised it was so close though.
It was close.
I thought it was gonna be a landslide for Bloodborne.
Yeah.
So.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into Bloodborne. You know, this is one of my all-time favorite games. Came out back in 2015 on March 24th. Miyazaki, I mean, they were pumping out games. I think the year after this was Dark Souls 3, so I mean, they just kept going and going and going. But Bloodborne, aside from its, you know, predecessors, was the first game that introduced like active combat, so you were rewarded for being aggressive. There were no shields. You know, you had a gun and a weapon. The gun was there to help you parry, and you know, you gained your life. You gained your like loss of life back by consistently being aggressive in the game, which was fantastic.
Yeah, definitely a different playstyle.
Yeah. So the game itself, I'll give a little synopsis of like the story. Bloodborne takes place in Yharnam, which is a gothic city known for its medical practices in something called blood ministration. Over the years, travelers would seek remedies to cure their afflictions there, and your character journeys to this place seeking a cure themselves. And when they get there, they realize the city is plagued with some kind of illness and transformed most of its citizens into these like beast-like creatures. So you need to navigate the streets and during the night, which they call the hunt, and overcome the violence and find a way to escape the nightmare and the plague that has kind of taken over this landscape. So
it's funny when you kind of spell it out like that. It's just like, oh, that's what it's about.
I was thinking that in my head too. I was like, okay, because it's just classic FromSoft,
very obscure and
story, and
community puts things together, and there's a lot of, and I'm sure we'll talk about in the next episode, but a lot of like essays and that one kind of famous one that a lot of people,
yeah, I mean, I'll bring it up here. Yeah. Miyazaki himself said this game took a lot of inspiration from like Berserk. So you can find a lot of like, which Berserk was like very hot, very dark, like high fantasy. And I guess it's a Redditor, Redgrave, it goes by the name. They compiled a bunch of data and kind of gave it their own spin of speculation, provided some clear distinctions, and kind of gave the reader their own evidence to kind of make their own judgments on what happened in the story. In like a 98-page essay called "The Pale Blood Hunts," from what I remember reading, they went and looked at like the descriptions of the armor, the weapons, the items, and kind of used that to create this kind of backstory to how the game got to where it's at right now, where you're playing in. Mm-hmm. And so you learn about like the characters that you end up fighting later on in the game. At some point, maybe you don't, and it kind of paints the picture of what this place was and why it was known for what it was, why you sought this cure. And this person kind of gives you a good base to really dig deep into the lore. And I remember playing the game, reading it, then going back and playing the game again, and it was like a whole different kind of looking around, seeing like, oh, this makes a lot more sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, some people say some people say speculation isn't really accurate, but again, it's just speculation. And, you know, you make your own assumptions by playing the game. This game also had its own DLC, which they released, I believe, a year later, called The Old Hunters. Added 5 more bosses and a whole other part of the game, which...
New weapons,
yep. A couple new weapons.
Do you guys play the DLC first in that kind of scenario so that you can get the weapons and use them throughout the
whole game? Oh, you mean just like play
the
DLC as soon as you...
I should say it that way, where as soon as it's available to you, because I know they don't open right away. Sometimes it does, but yeah.
I'm trying to think of any games in the past where that type of scenario has come up. For Bloodborne...
like Fallout, sometimes it's like that. Or...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's been any game... I've had that experience, but Bloodborne, I never actually played Old Hunters because
I haven't either.
I think it was like the PS4 Pro was like announced and I'm like, oh, they're going to put out a 60 FPS patch. So I'm just going to wait on it. And it never came. So I've actually never played Old Hunters, which will be fun going through and playing this. And then looking at my trophies too, like there's just certain areas I haven't been to. I'm just like, oh, you get this trophy to unlock if you go here. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of this game that I apparently haven't seen, because I only beat it one time back in the day. But
I guess actually looking through this, it actually came out November of the same year the game came out. I feel like that's a really quick turnaround for a DLC.
They're pretty quick on their DLC.
Yeah, but I mean, like Elden Ring.
Elden Ring, I think, is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, that
one's not coming this year.
That one they kind of predict next fall.
I think Game Awards, they'll probably announce it there.
Oh, sure.
How big do you think it's going to be?
Which will be in November, right?
Think it's going to be like a whole other continent or something? Yeah. Or like,
I don't know.
It better be something. It's got to be something big if it's going to be like Elden Ring sized. I mean, it can't just be some like dungeon and whatever. Yeah. Got to be like, I bet you it's going to be a whole other continent to explore. Not as big as obviously the original game, but it'll probably be like a little area or island or something that you'll be able to go to.
Because they did DLC for all the Dark Souls games, right?
I think so. Did they do it for 3? The only one that didn't get it was Demon's Souls. I think they all had.
Because then Bloodborne, but then Sekiro didn't.
Right, yeah, maybe that one didn't.
Sekiro
have
didn't have
that
DLC.
Was just a complete game. Elden Ring, would you guys rather have just them release Elden Ring 2 earlier, or would you rather have like a full-fledged DLC 30 hours long, 20 hours long?
I mean, I guess I'll take either or, whatever comes
sooner. Yeah, either or is fine with me. I mean, I feel like these games, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes they just kind of like mash together, like the areas and like where you've been, because the gameplay is so similar that it's like, I mean, Bloodborne's obviously going to be different because the setting is a little more darker and gothic. But yeah, all these games, I just feel like, DLC or a new game, I'd be cool with either. I think it's kind of cool when you get the DLC later because it's like these games are always have new game plus.
Yeah.
So it's like,
perfect for
it. It's a good time to do a new playthrough with all your items and then go to the DLC area. So
yeah. Were you guys burnt out by the end of your Elden Ring playthrough, or are you just like, I did everything, but I'd be playing more if there's more content?
I'd keep going.
That's crazy. I couldn't, you guys both put in like over 120 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
I only stopped because there was nothing left for me to do.
Wow.
I was literally in like I joined like the Reddit for the fight clubs that you go to in Elden Ring. And these are specific spots of the map where you go and everybody spawns in, you sit down, and then people walk out into the middle and fight. Yeah.
So you were looking for a reason to keep playing.
I was looking for a reason to keep playing.
I was, I'll have to say there was a little bit of depression that set in once there was nothing else to do. It was like, it was like, oh man. Cause every day after work or something, I would just hack away at it and be like, oh, I'm going to go to this area. I got to go do this. I haven't done that. Beat this boss I wasn't able to beat before or whatever. And when I was finally done doing everything, it was at the last boss. I was like, oh man. Kind of a bummer, but man,
I platinumed the game, so it was
the P word.
Yeah, platinum.
Oh shit!
On PS5, I'm like, I want to beat this. I want to get everything. I want to platinum this game, and that was right after that was when I was like, what do I do now?
Yeah,
try a different build, but I could just try different builds anyways. So
for sure. I think I specifically didn't beat Breath of the Wild because I just didn't want it to end. So I think I beat the game like 2 years after it came out. Because I was just like, all right, I'll just walk over here. And I knew like what the last thing I had to do was. And it was just one of those games. Yeah, for sure. But that whole synopsis is like, because I've started replaying it recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, even still, I'm like picking up a little more just because I did investigate. I haven't read that essay, but I did read like a little bit. So there's, I'm just a little more familiar with it. But then I'm also just like, this is so obtuse that I don't know. It's hard to kind of glean that from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, like, I mean, real intro, like there's just not like a voiceover or anything. It's just like just throws you in. So,
yeah, this game. By the end of 2015, its first year of release, it sold 2 million copies. From what I could find lifetime, it only sold 3.1 million. So
really? That's it?
Yeah. I was really surprised. I mean, unless I was looking at the wrong numbers. I mean, Elden Ring right now, what's what, 12?
Yeah.
15?
I mean, probably 13, 14.
Yeah,
it's probably because this one's just stuck on PS4, PS5.
Even still, for kind of how like revered it is, I'm surprised that's only...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it had a really strong cult following.
You know? I mean,
Elden Ring's a anomaly because it just blew up more so than any of the other games. But I mean, 3 million for that type of game is really freaking good.
I don't know. I think Elden Ring's release probably helped the fact that it came out on PC and on console at the same time.
I think
everybody was playing it, and then it wasn't like, and that's kind of like one of those games that you can play with a friend and like go through levels and like get through hard times and like, you know, get help with, you know, if you need to like beat a boss or something. So I don't know. I think like that's probably why it sold so much and continues to sell so much. I think this game just feels kind of locked on PS4, even though you could play it on PS5 and it still looks great. I've also been starting a new playthrough and doing it. But it's, yeah, it definitely feels like it's kind of stuck on PS4.
Yeah. I mean, criminally, like it's like the last, it's like the most, for easily, it has to be like the most like demanded. This game needs a remaster, like for sure.
Oh, or even absolutely. Just a PC release. I think people have been dying for that.
I wonder, honestly, I wonder like what's going on. Like, I wonder if they're just like, they have bigger plans for it because they want to remake it, because it's like, at this point, what is holding them back? And I know From Software is like super busy.
Or even just a patch.
But just something just to get people.
Strange.
So like at this point, I feel like they're gonna have to do something for, I mean, just to shut people up.
Well, and I thought Elden Ring was gonna be Bloodborne 2. Like, that's what I thought. I was like, okay, it's been a while. They might as well put out Bloodborne 2. That's kind of what everybody wants. And then they're like, here's this game. It's got George R. R. Martin attached to it. Everyone's like, holy crap, it's gonna be like Game of Thrones. And then later on, you find out he just kind of helped build like the overworld and some other characters. And then Miyazaki's like, George R. R. Martin, he'll be surprised what I did with some of his characters. And you're like, oh, what the heck? Turned and twisted them into whatever they end up becoming from what they were. Yeah. So.
I wonder with the Bloodborne not getting remastered, if it was something like contractually with, because it was a Sony.
But even Sony's that they put paid some of
it. But that they couldn't work out a deal with like From Software. They're maybe. Like, well, if we do this, then we want like to release on other platforms. And Sony's like, no.
Probably you're right about
I just,
that.
I don't know why there hasn't been.
It's got to be Sony's probably involved somehow.
Something.
I bet.
Yeah. And that's why there's not a Dark Cloud 3. So,
or
a Legend of Dragoon remake.
Before I forget, though. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Before I forget, just with the news, though, with Sony, their kind of investment in Kadokawa, who owns FromSoft. Did you guys see that?
No.
Where, they came out and said, yeah, we're looking at exploring kind of multimedia opportunities with FromSoftware properties.
Oh, that's so, right.
Like Bloodborne anime.
Yeah, well, on that note, I mean, they already have a comic book series that they've had like a 3-part series, single stories, and now they have an ongoing series that they've just started up again.
Another one. Did you guys read the comic book or the graphic novel at all?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
It's not like a manga. It's not like,
no, it's like a comic.
But the author, like, is it written by someone from the company even, or is it just kind of outsourced?
No, I think it's outsourced. I think it's like an Image. I think it's an Image branded comic, and it's just like small stories.
I should read those.
Yeah, for the new one's called like the Lady of the Lantern. So it's just another character that maybe was in the universe, and you get to like learn about him.
Did that 93-page, 96-page, whatever it was, did that pull from the comic books at all? Like, did the comic book give any lore?
No, those were done like beforehand, I believe, because the old hunters like add-on was added to his like addendum in the Pale Blood Hunt thing he wrote right after it came out. So and I think the comic books came out right around the same time, so I don't think they had anything to do with it, or he anything. Whoever they were, Red Grave. but yeah, it was such a great game.
Do you guys normally get into the I don't know, the multimedia aspect of games, or is that not something you're into? Like, have you ever read a book based on a game, like a Halo book or
StarCraft book?
Or
yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. I mean, I know it's not a JRPG, but like, you know, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, the anime got me back into the game.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it got a lot of people back into the game.
I gotta watch that.
I would say, like, you know, the Final Fantasy 15 movie, which is like the prequel.
Kingsglaive.
Didn't really get me into the game, but no. It was like, oh, do I need to know this? Maybe I should watch it. And I was like, okay, this is
You whatever. Did, didn't you?
I think it did have some important stuff, but it's just so fucking boring.
Well, yeah. I think the worst thing about that, too, was that I think...
Wasn't Aaron...
You could only... Right, I think it was like an exclusive. It was like a pre-order exclusive. Initially, I think it was like a pre-order exclusive, right?
Probably.
I think it was. It was something like that. Or no, maybe
they... Because it was in theaters, like limited release.
But I
and
think...
And then they released it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, but I don't think it was free or kind of a thing. I don't think... No. The problem was is I think money there were some details in it that you wanted to know before playing the game.
Yeah.
And so if you just bought the game and didn't really know about the anime and then found out about it later, you probably weren't going to be too happy about that.
I can't remember. Did 15 pull from, like, did they pull scenes from Kingsglaive? Like, I imagine they would just because they spent a lot of money on all that CG, but
I never actually watched it.
So we picked next month's games, right?
We do.
Final Fantasy 15, anyone?
Road Trip? I never beat that game. I always wanted to go back and play.
I do want to go back.
Because there's like a lot of DLC. And there's like a 4-player multiplayer.
Yeah.
And a Power Rangers. Like, it was like a Rangers expansion. It looked like the people were dressed up in Power Rangers suits. I don't know.
Rob, I know you're famous Final Fantasy 15 hater. Would you
hater?
Yeah. Would you?
What do you mean?
Would you go back?
Like
to, would you ever revisit? Or like, I mean,
willingly. I would revisit it because I only got to play the launch version and I had a really sour experience. And then they released the Royal version later that you could pay for and get all the great updates and upgrades that they brought out to the game. But yeah, I would definitely give that version another try. I wasn't happy with the release of that game. It really was. I'll probably never buy another Final Fantasy launch again.
Would it be better?
Not even 16?
Not even 16.
Oh, I'm getting 16. Yoshi P all the way. That bless his 16. Heart.
Yeah, but you guys were really into 14. I wasn't like super into that.
Remake Part 2?
Remake Part 2. Oh, man, it's got Sid. I'll probably do that one.
Got him.
I'll get day
you
one.
Me. You got me.
Hey,
there.
Even Crisis Core Reunion. I'm going to get day one.
They just need to put Sid.
As long as Sid's there, I'll buy it day one. But if there's like, no Sid, I'll be disappointed and I'll probably wait.
It's like Shin Megami Nocturne, where it's like featuring Dante from Devil May Cry. Yeah, they do that with Sid just to get you every time.
It better.
See, my favorite character is in 14, and he got ranked number 6 of all time. So
for what?
For most famous or like favorite Final Fantasy characters.
No, what was the outlet? What was the poll? Game Facts or?
No, it was the Japanese one.
Famitsu?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like,
Famitsu.
I don't know, 400,000 votes or something.
Okay, wow.
And he ranked above Sephiroth.
Recency bias, I think, though. Maybe just a bit.
Well, if you play Shadowbringers, you'll understand why he's the greatest.
Eventually.
One of the greatest characters in Final Fantasy. You can just watch a YouTube video. They'll play the whole story all the way through for you.
Rob, I haven't played any of the expansions in 14 yet. You could catch up. We could play it together.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that. Because
hey, I'll tank or heal you guys.
That'd be fun.
I'd be down to do that just so that I would have someone to play with, because I feel like those games are so boring unless you're actually like playing with a friend.
For sure. You get more out of it.
Yeah.
I would single-handedly drop everything so you guys could get to Shadowbringers.
Well, the thing is they've streamlined the experience so much that, that you can get... Because they know that the Realm of Born was lacking, and they streamlined in a lot of ways that you can get to the good stuff, the expansions. But.
Yeah. The first expansion, Heaven's Ward, is phenomenal. Stormblood's decent, but then Shadowbringers and Endwalker are the enders of awesomeness, and they complete the entire Final Fantasy story. Like, right now, we're in a limbo of the next chapter of this MMO. Which I've never seen in a game where they're like, yep, this is the end of A Realm Reborn, and now we are into the next phase of whatever it is. Nobody knows.
Are you more likely to play Final Fantasy 14 or revisit Final Fantasy 15?
14.
Yeah?
Hands down.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. 15 was, I think 15 has problems that I don't think I'll be able to get over. I'll definitely play it again, and it had aspects I liked about it, but like the road trips and collecting the soundtracks, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But the gameplay, man, I'm just not into that.
What if I come back next month and I'm like, dude, they fixed it. It's my favorite Final Fantasy 15. Would my word be enough to make you curious?
I don't think they could fix it. I'm pretty sure they didn't, but I wouldn't trust your word either, because you're just bullshitting me.
Didn't they have
me to play Final Fantasy 15 again?
Didn't they have to fix the 13th chapter or something in it because the ending of the game didn't make sense? I thought they had to do something like patch the end of the game. I think
there was like talks that like some of the like one of the DLCs was gonna.
They
like...
did patch some chapter that made it better. Apparently. Yeah. I forget what it was, but.
But no, like, didn't they have like they planned to have more DLC and then they ended up canceling like two of them or
and
something.
I think they came out in like novel form or something. I think they got like what they wanted, the story of it out somehow, but I think that was. I mean, they got like three or four DLCs out. Like, they got a good amount out, but
it's just ridiculous that they were planning on six.
Yeah, I mean, they like killed two of the characters. It was like two of the main characters' DLCs. I think it
would have like helped explain like a lot in like the story from what I heard from some fans. But whatever, we're talking about Bloodborne.
Is that what we're talking about?
One more thing though. That's like the worst though. When like 13 came out, and then they're like, yeah, we're doing 13.2, and then Lightning Returns, and then it was like the same with 15, which. 15 was kind of like the game of that generation where you just got...
It's a little disappointing because it's like we used to get, on PlayStation, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9. They're all just amazing and they're all different in their own way. And they're all different characters. And I feel like, we're getting like one game per like generation basically for each like system.
I am really curious to why they went so hard into 13.
Yeah.
And like they even tried to do like an X2, but...
Yeah. I think they.
Oh, she have like Louis, Lightning and Louis Vuitton ads and all that. Not Louis, Louis. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Just like what a weird.
Oh, Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, okay. The Louis Vuitton.
What a weird title to sit on and make multiple sequels to. That, I mean, some people really like the game. I never even played them.
Yeah, I think that was one where and Lightning never clicked for people. Like I think they wanted her to.
That's another one I played maybe an hour of. That one I would play 15 over 13. I was.
You would.
13
is actually, I think 13 is underrated.
I would give it another try. And I've heard that, 13.2 is like the better one, or 13.3 is better than the first one. I don't know. I've heard that the sequels are better than the original.
Yeah.
But I really wasn't having it on the first game. I don't know. I did not like it. So I turned it off.
Just got tired of Hope falling to his knees. Every scene.
No, I was not a big fan of that.
Soundtrack's really good, though.
I don't know.
I would try it again. I would definitely try it again. But I think that's another game that's kind of hasn't been remastered or touched in a while. And I think it's on PlayStation 3 and that's it, right?
Yeah,
and Steam, maybe?
The Xbox version through the backwards compatibility program got resolution boosted, maybe frame rate boosted too. So I think that is like one of the best ways to play it now. But not something that I don't think there's a demand for it yet. I think it's kind of people are coming around on it after all these years of like, the combat system was pretty good.
Well, they've re-released and remastered everything up to 12. So it's interesting that we haven't gotten 13.
Yet. Maybe it's just cost-wise.
I mean, there's three different parts. I'm sure they want to do everything. And that would be a good time to revisit it. That's kind of why I'm waiting on that and 15, I guess. I'm sure they'll put all in a package.
The 16 behind part two is like my number, like my most anticipated.
Yeah,
it just looks
because Yoshi
does look cool. Don't get me wrong.
Because Yoshi P is behind it, I'm really excited, and you can definitely see like he pulls ideas from 14 and brings them into there. But I still feel like it's separated itself enough where it's a different thing entirely. So
yeah, cool.
Well, anyways, I completely forgot about what we're talking about. Bloodborne, awesome game. I'm gonna talk about like a couple cool things that over the course of the game's life that kind of happened. Every year on the day of the release, an event would start called Return to Yharnam, and I think I rejoined it like in 2018 to like go back and help people beat the game.
Is it like it's not like an official?
No, it's
by
the
community thing.
Yeah, the Discord community that would run it.
Was actually one of our affiliate partners.
Oh, really?
The our Discord subreddit.
Oh,
shout out.
And they're all, shout out, one of our affiliates, one of our partners.
They're cool. Good on you guys.
They're good community.
It got me back in there. I think I helped like 10 different people beat the game. I remember partying with this one girl, and we would join other people's games and help them beat it. It was super fun. Yeah. And
is that what paid for these gamer chairs that we're sitting in?
Yeah. This chair from Goodwill.
The guy, when was that he got you back to it? Have you gone back every year or just?
No. I went back like 2018, 2019. But it was really fun because like some of my friends haven't beaten it. So I was like, yeah, I'll help you, man. I'll help you beat it. Go in, you know, I'm not going to kill the boss for him, but I'll help him get there and see what they can do. But I'd made a couple like new friends on there and kept in touch with them for a little bit, but. Eventually I stopped going back and playing it. I played it so much at that point, but it felt new and fresh and felt like I had purpose in the game again that I had, you know, beat the living crap out of. So
cool.
Yeah. The other thing I couldn't find who made it, but someone made a PS1 demake version of the game. It only covers up to the first boss on the bridge. But really cool, you know, low poly version of the game to kind of give you this very retro feel. Super cool.
Looks like Nightmare Creatures.
Yeah, it looks like Nightmare Creatures.
Didn't that same person do like Bloodborne Cart too? They did like their own, and that one's fully playable. It's a fully, I think it's only a PC only. Like,
okay, game, yeah, maybe.
But it's like a Mario Kart, but it's with Bloodborne characters. That's awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that and one's
funny. I do want to play the demake.
Yeah, but it's just so cool. Like, yeah. A game that hasn't have a remaster yet. Has had all this hype and kind of cult following around it.
Huge community behind this game.
Yeah,
huge
keep the community. Game alive. Yeah, so has
big cult following
for sure. What were your guys' original? When did you play it? Did you play it right at launch?
Yeah, I think we actually all played this game at launch over at your house, man. Yeah.
Were you there too? We were all three there.
Yeah. I got off work, so I couldn't play it yet.
Yeah.
And I think somebody was bringing my PS4 over, and you're already playing, and I'm just like, okay, I can't watch. And then I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to watch. Screw it. And yeah, we're all cuddled in your basement playing it.
Yeah, because
I think we were having a contest to see who could beat the first boss, and then like... I think
everyone's
me.
Getting their ass kicked.
But we were all getting our butts kicked.
Kevin was making the most progress, but then he ended up kind of dropping off. But yeah. We had like because I had that big desk downstairs that was normally set up for Battlefield 4 with multiple monitors. And I think, I forgot that you were there, Rob, because I have pictures of it, but it's only of the desk setup. And were you playing like on the big screen or something?
I don't think so.
You're just out of frame.
Yeah.
The side screen. There's like another desk on the side and next to the big one.
Did you take pictures too?
No.
Okay, good, because I remember I said no pictures allowed.
Wait, but why did you take pictures?
Because I own the house.
Where are the pictures?
I'll show you guys later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jeez. But that was at launch. That was exciting.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
I was really hyped for that game just because I had heard like the influences for it and what it kind of was, and I really liked that dark aesthetic and kind of gothic Victorian feel to it. And then I played the game, and then I'm like, oh, shit. This game's kind of tough.
I think it was like the first PS4 like launch game. Or not, there wasn't a launch title, but it was like the first PS4 game that wasn't on a previous system that I had bought. First PS4 only game that came out on PS4 first that I bought. And yeah, I remember it being pretty like, I was taken back by just how like difficult it was and how like different, although how similar it was to Dark Souls, but also different enough to like be its own kind of game.
Yeah.
What did you get with your PS4? When did you get your PS4? Because you didn't get it right at launch.
No, I waited a little while. I feel like I might have gotten it maybe a few months before Bloodborne came out.
Yeah, because I remember like texting you or something. I forgot like, I guess what was the game that guy, or is it just that you just decided to pick one up because stuff that was coming out?
Yeah, and I remember specifically that I had it around that time too, because I remember I didn't have a lot of games to play on my PS4. And I think I had I bought Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin, because I think that came out recently around that time too. And I remember just being like, all right, I'm just going to go back to Dark Souls. It's a little bit easier because it was difficult. Like, Bloodborne was really like in your face and like having to like, you know, I mean, I suppose we'll go more into this in the next episode, like gameplay, but having to like purchase your healing, you know, items. They don't just like respawn every time you go to the campfire.
Yep.
You know, and there's a lot of different things about it that make it its own kind of game.
Blood vial runs, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's right.
The aggression in the game, and like, yeah, no shields. You're like, okay, gotta learn how to parry.
It's interesting though, because I mean, that and Sekiro the only ones that don't have shields, right? Out of the more modern.
Yeah, and I mean Sekiro is heavy on the parrying. That's like you need to break their guard to do any sort of. You can basically guard until you, like, execute them.
Right.
So, I mean, that game had an interesting way of playing it, too. But the same with this. You know, parries were, like, knockdowns to get, like, extra damage.
So I made the game extra hard for myself because I just couldn't time the parry because I played on the big screen plasma downstairs and there's just the lag was there. So, like, same with Demon's Souls. Like, I never parried because it just every time I try, I was like, oh, this is broken. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of talk about more later, but since I've been starting it now, I play on the OLED where response time is like super quick. Like,
yep.
It almost feels like I'm playing a completely different game. And it's just like, it feels like it's easy mode because like you can pretty much stun, like, I mean, even bosses. Like, it feels broken to me for kind of how what I had to go through the first time I played the game.
Sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. So what are you guys going to be playing on?
PS5.
Yeah.
PS5. Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah. But there's no upgrade. There's no reason to play on a PS5. It's just I don't even have a PS4 at this point.
I don't know. Is there a reason?
I don't think there's anything.
I think it gets a slight upscale depending on the TV you use, but that's it.
It doesn't fix the frame pacing, doesn't give a higher frame rate. Like, there's unfortunately no benefit. Like, a lot of PS4 games got FPS boosts. And some, like, not even with any developer work. Like, if you play the unpatched version of Last Guardian, it has like an unlock frame rate. So then just because of the power of the PS5, it runs higher. But unfortunately, that's not the same with Bloodborne. But
strange. Yeah.
Well, you guys have any like specific memories of playing the game that stand out to you?
I just remember it being late at night and just being kind of spooky. And it's a perfect game for this month. And
yeah.
I just remember being kind of the jump scare kind of things were definitely pretty real in this game, and I guess in this game too, it's like you're fighting mostly like human and like kind of like beast creatures, you know. It's not you know, you're not really fighting like animals or any of that kind of stuff. Like it's mostly kind of like, you know, kind of like stuff that you would fight in like a horror movie. So it's cool. That's kind of what I remember, is it just being a little scary, which I definitely appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I was super into it, and then I dropped off for a while. I don't know if I was stuck on a boss or something. And then I think beat it like a year later, but still didn't get like into the old hunters.
Yeah.
So my plan for this time around, though, is I'm going to start right now, and then I want to read the essay after I beat it, and then do like a new game plus, and hopefully do the P word on this game. Because,
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
I
want the platinum.
When I started the game, I didn't parry, and it took me
you're on a plasma?
No, just because I wanted to brute force my way through the game, and I did like a dex build. But third boss, called the Bloodstarved Beast, I don't know what my deal was, but I couldn't beat that boss to save my life. It was unbearable, and here's my roommate beating it, his brother coming in and being like, you can't beat this, and he goes in and beats it, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? I'm looking up, okay, how do I even beat this thing? There's like a spray you can use, you can do this certain stuff. Eventually I, you know, gut checked myself up and beat the boss, and I was just like, I almost quit the game because it was just like, what the heck, why was he so hard? But if people have fought that boss before, they know it's super aggressive and it's got like an acid attack that literally just drains your health to nothing.
But then it's also like a super easy fight now if you know just like one simple trick.
Oh yeah. I mean that boss doesn't even register on my radar when I go back and fight it.
Yeah,
which is just crazy. It was such a challenge back then, and now it's like, no,
that's the one a lot of people were stuck on. I don't remember all the bosses, but I know some of the old hunter bosses were considered like some of the hardest things of the game, but I think the one I was stuck on most was at Kanehurst Castle.
Okay. The Mad King on the top. Yeah.
I think that was the one I had to replay the most. But yeah, Bloodstarved, I luckily didn't have too much trouble with. Other than like the first couple bosses, just getting into the game, because I'd only previously played Demon's Souls, so I wasn't kind of attuned to kind of the Souls type of gameplay, so it took me a while to kind of get into the flow.
Yeah, Old Hunters, that was when I relived the same nightmare. I had to fight the Orphan of Kos, and that fight is still difficult to this day. I mean, I started Old Hunters when I was already like New Game Plus 3, so it was not smart to just go and fight them as beefy as they could be.
Because they can be harder depending on what new game you're on.
Yeah, the scaling for damage and stuff, I can't remember what it was. I thought it was like pretty exponential, but maybe it was just incremental, probably. And I just remember fighting that boss, and I'm like, why did I do this in New Game Plus? This is a nightmare. And same kind of thing. It almost made me quit, and I eventually beat it. I figured it out. But
are you guys going to do different kind of builds or weapons that you've done in the past? I'm actively like trying to avoid the Kirk Hammer, which I use. And then what's the Ludwig's Holy Blade?
The Moon.
And most people just play the game with that. I'm going to try to just avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually use what's the axe? The Great Axe or something. The one that, I don't know. That's okay. It splits into two or one.
Yeah. The beginning axe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I used that last time. And I actually never finished. I think it might be a starter or maybe not right away. Starter. Yeah.
It's the axe, the threaded cane, and then the
saw blade.
The saw blade.
Yeah. Yep. Because I think I remember, or maybe I had the cane and the axe. I might have just been using both, because you can use two weapons in that game. But yeah, I actually never finished this game either, kind of waiting for like an update or a patch or something. But
you've never even finished
it? Never finished it. Wow, okay. So I think I started a new playthrough, and I think I've gotten past where I got lost. I think I just got lost, because sure. This game is one where it's like Dark Souls, where like everything's connected. There's like paths to get from here to there, and it can be a little confusing about, you know, where you are, and things are a little more, you know.
Yeah, once you get to a certain point, it opens up a little bit.
Right.
I mean, for the most part, it's pretty linear, but because you can teleport all over the place, you can, it kind of,
I just get, I think in this one, it's like, oh, there, you get to an area, and there's an area this way and an area that way, and like, to have to remember, I don't know, I guess I'm just getting old and like, can't remember where I'm going in the games anymore.
There's a lot of optional bosses in this game too.
That's right.
Yep.
Like you,
and there's the chalice dungeons.
Right. I think that's what confused me too. Is like, what's the order? I think I did do that this time around. I've been going through, seeing what the boss order is, and that's been helping me out a lot, just to know where generally to go next. Yeah. I've actually been using the holy sword, and I've been loving it, man. I love that thing.
Did you not use it in your original playthrough?
I did not use it in my original playthrough. Yeah. It's great.
It's almost broken. I mean, I think it's considered like...
Well, the fact you can hit like L2 and just do a smash move, it's great.
Yeah.
It feels good when you smash enemies with it, but yeah, I get it. But okay. I am doing an arcane build, which is fun with it.
Okay, cool. Does it give you... is that like an... It's better for arcane then?
Well, I think it scales B with arcane. Okay. And I think you... What do you put any like elemental gem on it, and it automatically becomes an arcane weapon. So
okay, cool.
So I have like it right now. It's like a bolt or whatever.
Cool. Yeah. I started this new playthrough. I started with threaded cane, which is cool. Cause I use the saw blade. I use the Kirk hammer, the little ball with the lightning. I forgot what it's called. And then the holy blade. Those are the only weapons I used during the entire game. And then this new playthrough, I was like, oh, I'll just start with the threaded cane.
It's a fun weapon.
It's fun. It's like Castlevania. Yeah. Miles is like, it's just I think the group control. And then I was reading online though, like what the best weapons are, and threaded cane is not even considered like top.
It's a
15.
Good beginning weapon.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to branch off from or what type of build I'll do this time. Is this, can you like wipe all of your experience and just completely like at any point during the game? Is there an item that lets you do that?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think it lets you do this at all in this game.
To build
at all.
Specifically then.
Yeah, I don't think you can reset your thing. That's
I think you can just
people...
keep leveling up and keep going through New Game Plus. It's been a while since I played.
But... Yeah, what's like the general level cap that people usually play to, like 120 or something?
Yeah, 120 is optimal, because anything else, you're getting like diminishing returns on your build.
Okay.
I think it was the same in Elden Ring 2. There's like diminishing returns on the higher level you are, because if people were to invade your world, they need to be around like the same level. And if you wanted to do like the fight club and stuff, you needed to be within a certain parameter to make it, to get the most like connection to other people to play.
That's the I mean, there's so much like confusing things that are unexplained, like insight. I still don't know, and I didn't know on my original playthrough, because I loaded up my save And I had like 70 something insight. I didn't even know there's a like another fountain that you could spend insight at at the
some good stuff there.
Yeah, there's some good stuff there. So I had no idea.
And the fact that you use insight to summon people, like that's frustrating.
I don't summon anybody in From Software games.
Well, whatever, but it's nice that you can do that.
I'm not a noob.
Well, shut up, dude. That's what I'm talking about. You can still summon. There's like NPCs you can summon. FromSoftware puts it there.
And I don't need the help.
You don't summon the NPC.
No, I can take care of myself, dude. Honestly, though, that's how I feel about these games. I feel like, because I feel like if you summon, it completely changes the dynamic.
It does. But I'm not here to spend hours on one boss, though. I'm just not. I'm just here to have fun and play through the game. That's just me. That's me. That's how I play the game.
So do you summon for? Do you ever summon for bosses that you haven't fought yet, or do you just summon
I try to fight the boss first. If I'm able to beat it by myself, I'll do it without somebody. But otherwise, yeah, I'm gonna summon the NPC. Like, because a lot of the times you have to do work to get the NPC to even show up. So it's like if you're following the quest lines,
and they're putting it there, it's not like you're cheating or breaking the game. I mean, it's like story related stuff too. Like it's not just like. A random
sometimes NPC. You have to like summon them in order to get a certain item or something.
Can you summon NPCs instead of players? Can you like choose that?
Yeah, well they're almost always available in front of the bosses.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
They almost always are. And sometimes they are even available in the beginning of the level. Like you can just have them help you out.
Oh, really? Stuff. You can just go through the level with them?
Yeah, man. Or even I've even seen them in the labyrinth levels too.
Yeah, the challenge dungeons.
Okay. Yeah. So how does it work when you summon your friends then?
They die or that you beat the boss.
I actually did try doing this. I rang the bell for someone online to join, and the NPC was in. And then once the second like online person joined, it kicked the
NPC out.
So
what is it? Is it like how many friends can you have?
Two. Right?
Two.
Yeah.
So it's like three. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a summoner?
No. But this time, I mean, I've beaten this game so many times. My roommate's really hyped about replaying the game. And that's probably his favorite Souls game. He wasn't a big fan of Elden Ring, but, so we're going to try and like go in and co-op with the new builds we've never done before.
Are you going to parry this time around?
Maybe I should just
find
not,
that L2 button.
Just don't parry at all. No, I've learned to parry since. I know what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, you're famously stubborn.
Yeah.
Playing Towerfall where you refuse to dodge.
Hey, I've won with that build.
You've won seldomly. You could be the champion if you actually would dodge.
I've won plenty of times. Plenty.
We'll see.
You got it with you right now? I don't have a Switch with me right now,
but we'll have to play some.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, we should. Because that game has, I think you can do like 8-player on, or you can do like 10-player on PC. That'd be really fun if we got everyone together and did that.
I think my roommate's going to use the stake driver as his main weapon for this playthrough. And then I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I want to have the cannon.
Are the DLC weapons good? The old hunter weapons?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like the bow? Wheel. They're the Ligarius's wheel, I think it's called.
Okay.
I think I'm going to use that.
Oh, I'm using the Saw Spear on this build as well, which is, I've never used that before. That's a cool weapon because you can jab people.
Yeah. The other thing about this game, and just like one quick thing, is trick weapons. Those are never in a Souls game before.
That's right. I really like that.
And
the two weapons in one kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that Elden Ring kind of split the difference and like each weapon had its own ability. Okay. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Okay.
It's not a trick weapon, but it kind of met it in the middle because I thought that was a really great mechanic.
Because I've only played Demon and a little bit of Blood. Like I have for as much as, no, not, sorry, Blood. I mean, I beat Blood and then played Demon Souls. Do the other games allow you to equip two weapons at a time? Because I can't remember if Demon.
They all do, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the only game where you get one weapon and one gun.
But the other ones, you can just cycle through and have like three different, whatever, how many weapons you have, or is it also where you can only equip one extra weapon, like in Elden Ring?
Well, you only have two hands.
So okay.
Whatever you can fit in your hands.
But in Elden Ring, I think when you use a different weapon than the other hand, you can have a different move set.
Yeah, whatever's in your right hand is the ability you'll use in Elden Ring. I don't know, but I don't think there is, and I don't think it's like that in the other games. You just dual wield two swords.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, cool. In the other games, you're just your right hand always does like
the quick attack.
Yeah,
and then your left hand is like the stronger or longer attack.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's been a while since I've tried that.
Remember when you said that Dark Souls 3 came out a year later? So what? Like,
yeah, I looked it up and it said 2016 was Dark Souls 3. I just find that crazy because that game is, I feel like, even bigger than Bloodborne.
So what team, because there's the Dark Souls 1 team, then they were making Dark Souls 2 concurrently, and I mean, kind of famously, people consider that as like the B team did Dark Souls 2. So
yeah.
Who worked on like Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3? Like that yeah, B team, did they like...
A year to the day.
Okay.
It was released.
When I know Sony Japan, like this was like a collaboration. It wasn't just like From Software. I'd be interested to kind of look into that.
I wonder
like,
how breakdown much... Because like, this is their studio they shut down, right? Japan yeah. studio that helped with this.
That helped so, with this, yeah.
So I wonder how much they were involved.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was kind of like a Mario RPG thing where like... Nintendo and Square were working together pretty closely to like actually make the game. But I don't really know. I haven't really looked too much into it. I'm sure that information's out there.
Yeah. And Dark Souls 3 sold well, like over 10 million copies.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Compared to the two that Bloodborne did. So, you know, people think, or I would assume that they would be like, oh, the game was not a big success. But looking out at the following, people would at least prefer a remaster.
I think at this point, anything that FromSoft comes out with, especially after Elden Ring, is going to be a huge hit. Oh, like absolutely. Bloodborne coming out again, like a re-release or even just a remaster or a remake or whatever, people would be all over that. Just mm-hmm. like, I mean, even the Demon's Souls remake was, I mean, even though it wasn't done by From, it was still like, I don't know, people liked yeah. it. I enjoyed it. It was
fun.
I think
that's what everyone was hoping for with that Blue Point would move on to Bloodborne next, but they're working on a different or their own original IP.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny that with Bloodborne, though, too, like, it's kind of their apology to, or Sony's apology to From, because they published Demon, but, like, were not confident in it doing well at all. So that's, like, that's why Bandai published Dark Souls, because...
I forgot about that.
They picked up on that, and then Sony's, like, I think they kind of had to patch the relationship and then gave them a bunch of money to do Bloodborne. But the thing is, like... I don't know, just like, I think maybe we talked about previously, though, too, with how much Elden Ring has sold, and because Sony owns the Bloodborne IP, like, they're just never going to have that expansive audience that an Elden Ring would have, so is yeah. From, are they ever going to want to work on a Bloodborne 2 again, like, or, but it's like, it's one of those things that people just won't shut up about until they get it, either a remaster or a remake, something has to happen at some point.
Yeah. Or just port it again, damn. Yeah.
I remember when Demon's Souls came out, I went to the Best Buy. I was working at Target.
The original
PS3. I ran across the street to the Best Buy, and it was the last copy. I didn't really even know about the game. And I started playing it, and I'm like, why is this game so hard? And then I put it down for until we ended up playing it, whatever year that was, 2012, 13.
Yeah, it was a little bit later, because that came out in 2009.
I think.
Did you? What was your first Souls game, Rob?
It was Demon's Souls. You gave me a Greatest Hits copy.
Did I really?
You did.
I was kind of like the evangelist.
Yeah, you were like, this is $5, try this out. And I was like, okay.
That's right, because I think I...
You bought it for $5.
I think I got the Petersons a copy too, or yep. I borrowed them
yeah.
the copy.
It was. I remember it being, because it was the red label, because you didn't see a lot of those.
Right. That's right. I remember buying copies for people.
But yeah, oh man, that was a fun. I remember just immediately being really into this, just being like, all right, this is awesome. This is a really fun way to play like a role-playing game, basically, because it's like, it's so action-oriented. And it's like you get everything that's good from like a Western game and a Japanese game in one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you kind of play all the Souls games at launch after that then, after mm-hmm. becoming liking Demon's Souls? Like, yep. Did you pick up Dark Souls when it first came out and all that? Okay.
Yep. I've played every Souls game at launch. Yeah. I've enjoyed every single one.
I know we talked about it in previous episodes, but I'll still say when we played Demon's Souls together,
one of my favorite,
one of my greatest gaming times in my life. Like, we picked up the game and you're like, you want to play?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And then it's like 7 a.m. in the morning
yep.
and we're still playing. And then
it was that perfect time that just you could not create again, because it's just a different time. Yeah. I don't even know if I could stay up till 7 a.m. these days, but like, we're every night we get off work and it's like, yeah, you come over. Yep. And then we just like start playing and then play till like the early hours.
And then
hours.
That one day you said you made it seem like you beat the game through a text. And then the entire day. Yep. I'm like, I can't go to work tomorrow until I beat this game. He's going to make fun of me. He's going to spoil the game. And then I text him later. Oh, I finally beat the game. I the false king. He did this to me. I only lost this much. And you're like, wait, what? And I'm like, wait, I thought you beat the game. No, I was just saying, commenting on it. Oh, well, you better not show up to work until you beat the game.
Yeah. Tables turned.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that was definitely one of my favorite gaming memories. And then also playing Bloodborne with all you guys, too, was a lot of fun.
I think that was the last time I probably got together with people at a game launch was Bloodborne. It's been a while.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's always the next one.
Because when is the last time... Breath of the Wild? We did that with Breath of the Wild. Did we do it since, or is that the last time we've ever done that?
Did we do God of War, too, maybe?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, maybe just Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild, where we went and picked up our Switches at midnight and then came over and played. But
which is not a JRPG, I found out. I learned the hard way.
Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Nope, no Zeldas.
Can't believe it.
Except for Zelda 2.
Zelda 2, the one people like the least.
I'm holding out for 60 frames per second. Yeah. Update to that game.
What on Zelda 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you gonna put that as your vote for the game next month?
Honestly, maybe I will, because that's one of the Zelda games, one of the few. No, actually, I've played a lot of them. I've only beaten like half of them, but that like Majora's Mask are kind of like the biggest missing pieces.
I'm trying to think of something that's kind of short and fun.
Don't waste your choice. Yeah. That game is terrible. Zelda 2, it's really lauded as the worst.
Yeah, I still have to think of something, and I'll look at the previous list of what people voted for or yet. But
yeah, we'll announce our choices next.
Do we know Cosmo's experience with this game at all? Has he played Bloodborne?
Yeah, he has it. I'm pretty sure he's played it. I think he might have played online a couple times.
Okay,
getting through it, but I'm not sure how far he got in. It might have been a one where he kind of got lost and confused, like I did, and dropped it.
Yeah,
maybe
I'll try playing with you guys on this one just because
I've
beaten it before, so I don't need that pure experience anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fun. It's fun to just run around and mess around, find stuff. I can show you stuff that maybe you haven't come across.
Because it gives the bosses and enemies more HP, but it's just it kind of breaks the boss's patterns. Is that what it is?
In any Souls game, I mean, maybe they didn't really change it in Elden Ring either. Like the way an enemy targets, it will split the target depending on who attacks it.
Okay.
So it's not like sitting, unless it does an AoE attack, which will then just be, you know, patterned. But, you know, it basically, you could, if you were fighting Margit in the beginning of the game and you had three people there, he's going to focus his attention on one, and all the other two people can just hack away and hack away. And whoever attacked him last, or I think maybe it was first, he'll then target them. Until he does his AoE, and it's just like that. It's like simple targeting. It really, you can really glitch out a boss.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean to get too into, because we'll talk about more in the next playthrough. But
yeah,
how far are you guys in so far?
I haven't even started.
Oh, you haven't started yet.
Okay. No, I'm gonna start and see where my roommate's at. And I mean, I don't know if he's at where I'm at. I'm like at New Game Plus 10.
The blood moon just appeared in my game, so.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm in a decent ways.
Decent amount.
Yeah. Put in some time.
And that happens after, we won't get into it for people.
The third boss, I think.
That quick?
Fourth?
Really?
Okay. Rom? I think it's after Rom.
He's that early in it? I forgot.
I can't remember.
Rom, the vacuous. Okay.
How many times have you beaten the game, Miles, overall?
I personally beat it 10 times. That's why I'm
Holy
like,
crap.
I've helped people beat it probably like a dozen times, though.
Is this the Souls game that you've played the most then?
Yeah. I mean, before Elden Ring, this was like my all-time favorite Souls game because I love everything about it. But Elden Ring transcended that because it added so many elements that I craved a jump. That's like the biggest thing that changed for me in Souls games was it added a jump, a simple jump that means something. And the way things like come across your body, you could literally be like a feather width away from the weapon hitting you, and you jump over it. So like the way the models are made,
it is a little weird to come back to this game after Elden Ring and being able to like just jump around and move around freely.
Yeah,
and now just running and then having a little hop like you do.
Hop, a stagger, or like a jump back dodge or something.
What's the jump button in Elden Ring?
I don't know, X circle?
Yeah.
Like, do you find yourself, like, pressing that just out of,
No, I didn't. No. I think like, right away, it's like, okay, it does a good job of being, like, this is linear. Yep. You're in this area. You can move up and down the stairs and stuff like that. Or you can try to, like, jump over little spots here and there. But, yeah. No, it was a little weird at first, but I got used to it, you know? Yeah.
Was it hard to go back just because of the performance, like, going from...
You know, not really. I thought I would have been like, oh, man, 60 frames per second. So I'm not going to have that. But, no, I think it looks... I'm playing on, like, a huge TV, like a 75-inch TV, compared to, like, I don't know, 40 I played back in the day. So,
yeah,
it definitely looks way better. And
yeah,
with the PlayStation 5 controller, you know, it's just... more comfortable. So
I did boot it up when I got my PS5 on my OLED.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's just the TV, but it really enhanced like the blacks and the white coloring. So
the game still looks great.
I think the art direction goes a long way for this one.
I thought it ran better because of the TV, but
do you have like frame interpolation turned on?
Maybe.
So you probably do if you.
Yeah.
Maybe. So do you when you watch like Netflix and stuff? Do the shows look like soap operas?
I was gonna say that.
Oh no!
I turn that stuff off. No, I don't. We're gonna have
to
go
to his house and.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, because I watched like, a couple shows up there the other day. I watched Game of Thrones up there.
So hardcore about
that. There's two tech things you should do at somebody's house. Yep, that's one of them. The other one is rename their damn router.
Yeah.
Because everyone uses the shit that comes out of the box.
So three then, and pull any freaking stickers that they have on the TV.
Oh yeah.
Or their sound system.
There
whatever.
You go.
Yeah. Are you still FBI van 1 and 2?
Still, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. Which then someone down our block did CIA, so now I don't know. It's not as original.
I always just hate like when you go over your mom's house and she's got like the default password and it's just like, oh, where is it? Oh, it's on the sticker. I'll go find it somewhere.
And it's just like
the super long 24 like, carat 24
capital numbers.
Yeah, yeah, all this different like I don't know and whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, it's so easy. You just log in and then just change it right there. I don't know. Yeah, that's just one of those pet peeves, I think.
That's the thing, though, with the frame interpolation for movies, I know it's a big no-no, but I've never, like, experimented with games.
I could see that maybe working with games.
Yeah, I wonder if people frown upon that with games. I remember playing Breath of the Wild with it and thinking it was kind of cool on briefly, but then I just turned it off because I didn't know if it was adding lag or something. But,
oh, sure.
When I started it, I think it was, like, a half hour where I was like, yeah, this is kind of rough. And then I'm not even thinking about it anymore. Like, I think overall, the frame rate holds up well enough that you can get through it. And resolution's fine.
I don't know. The game seems like it's optimized for the frame it's running at. So it doesn't really slow down. Like, it looks really good. I don't know. I don't really have a lot of complaints as somebody who's been gaming strictly on PlayStation 5 and 60 frames per second. I didn't used to be like a big frame snob anyway, so I guess maybe that's why I don't really care. But
yeah,
I'm not. I don't care.
Yeah, I think it's 30. As long as it's doing 30, I'm fine.
I mean, I love my OLED. It definitely has enhanced some games that I play. And yours, like seeing Last of Us 2 or Last of Us Remake on there.
Part 1, yeah. Wow. Yeah, it looks really good.
Wow.
Do you, except Miles, I know you're always kind of a lore person looking in the backstory. Are you that same way with the Souls games, Rob? Like, do you look into like...
I was going to say that before you mentioned it. I love that you can just read the items and just get all the backstory from that. And it's just really cool that, like, I don't know, Elden Ring does a great job of that where, like, you defeat an enemy, he drops, like, every piece of armor that he's wearing and every weapon that he's using or whatever, and you can pick up every piece of that and learn some sort of history about the enemy you just killed or like the region that you're in or whatever.
Do you go beyond just the game though and like look up like internet Reddit?
Was gonna say you guys are going way beyond with
this. Watch a ton of YouTube videos.
That's pretty cool.
Theory crafting, just informational kind of like speculation on like where the series was at, where it's going. I go really deep because I want to know. I want to like really be ingrained in what I'm playing.
It is nice to like after beating some of these games to like actually like read about what the fuck just happened.
Yeah, because
sometimes it's like, oh, what? And then when you do read it, then you're like, oh. And then it's like, then your new game plus is like more like involved in. And yeah, I always like doing these games like blind the first time through and just not knowing anything.
Yeah,
and then your new game plus always seems a little more valuable.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's a good way to go. I was kind of the same way where I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And then same with Bloodborne. I mean, I'm picking up more and like gameplay elements and then just story stuff too, where it's like, okay, I kind of get a little more what's going on. And I don't know, maybe I should just read the essay right now in case I don't.
I mean, a
new game plus if I don't have time. But
when I read it, I took it as like fact. Going back and doing some research on it,
yeah,
there are some people that, you know, talk about it being a lot of it being speculation or certain him making false assumptions about something. But I mean, I like to say I agree with some of those assumptions. I would, had I found the information on my own, maybe I would have made the same thing. But there's some like YouTube channels that kind of go over things and break it down a little bit differently that people tend to agree with more.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's like a good base to get you into the story,
yeah,
kind of get you into what you're doing and why you're there, just like the synopsis I told you. And like when I started the game, I didn't know why I was in a clinic. Yeah. I was just like, oh, I'm on a gurney, I guess. Yeah. I'll go and kill some shit.
I think that just kind of shows you how strong the gameplay is and that you can just play it without even necessarily know what's going on. Like the world building as far as like environmental, just how interesting the design is on a lot of these different elements.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we're getting a little too into it that we'll save for the next one. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's the translation or localization. I don't know. Like those teams are freaking awesome, dude. Like the voices they do for everybody.
This town's cursed.
The names, like everything sounds fucking just cool as hell. Yeah. Like
I was gonna say, I really like it when you're killing an enemy and then they like just shout and like their voice and like all the weird like screams they have. And
yeah,
some of these enemies, when they scream at you, it's like, damn, yeah, this is scary.
I'm playing,
man,
with headphones this time.
It's great.
Yeah. One more thing. Do you guys remember when this got leaked? Do you remember Project Beast? Like everything that
I
came
think
out
I do remember
time?
A little leak.
No,
going on.
I mean, I don't remember, but
I remember that
super hyped.
I remember you hyping me up about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember getting super hyped.
Wasn't there a bunch of screenshots and stuff that got leaked?
It was like it was a short video, and it was like framey. It was pretty framey because it was early, but it just kind of gave you the vibe. And I just remember people were losing their minds because this was after Dark Souls, how it became such a huge hit. But yeah, and then when Sony announced it, yeah, it instantly became like one of my most looked forward to games. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to continuing this playthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, this game is definitely a big enjoyment for all three of us. And, you know, I expect the episode will have definitely a lot to talk about for sure. So yeah, thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Peace out.
Later.